The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
You start expecting people to do to you what you've been put on the earth to do. Mm-hmm. In other words, it's your fingerprint that leaves the imprint. And when we get our focus off on what somebody's not doing and realize, hey, this is what I bring to the relationship, then it adds value to that person's life and therefore adds value to your life.
Coming up, Keith and Sheila Kraft encourage everyone to always honor other people's unique value for God.
Today, I'm so glad you give us this opportunity. I'm James Robinson, Betty and I are thrilled to have Keith Kraft, his wife Sheila, back. He's from the Elevate Life Church in Frisco, which is the north part of Dallas. I remember years ago somebody said, can you believe they're going to build houses in Frisco? That was like saying, hey, man, we're going out here to the cattle pens and build some houses. I mean, nobody ever believed what would happen in Frisco. And just like where Betty and I live, we lived in an old cow town that was called Colleyville. It was like a dog kennel, Colleyville. And people said, where in the world is that? And then a town of Southlake, and they just exploded beautifully. There's powerful ministry for God in those areas where it would seem to be so difficult to reach people. But Keith Kraft has got a real anointing on his life, as does his wife, Sheila. Would you welcome them back to life today? Glad to see y'all.
Thank you. Glad to be with you. Thank you.
Here is a book that you really ought to read, Your Divine Fingerprint. His dad was a law enforcement officer in Dallas. He told us in the previous program that his dad was the first person on the scene to actually find Oswald's gun, the gun that shot the Kennedy, President Kennedy, and Governor Connally. And he's the first one to find the chicken box where he'd eaten. And he understood fingerprints and taught Keith about them. And then suddenly, and he told him they're all unique. And as this played out in Keith's journey, he realized, you know, we're all unique. And we're all uniquely designed by God for a kingdom purpose that has eternal effect. You really are special. And you may think, well, you know, James, you can do something. Hey, I'm the product of a rape. My mother's raped. I didn't have a father, but I got a father. Yeah. He had a purpose for a little baby that was unplanned that a doctor refused to abort. Think of it. Keith was pronounced dead when he was a baby. And by the way, you don't have to go through all that.
Yeah.
This was the original church lady sitting over here by me. I mean, this is Miss Church Lady. But she needed Jesus. And she found out she's got a unique imprint on this planet. Would you tell us how it was that you came to write this book and give us a little bit of the insights that you really want people to grasp, the reason you wrote it?
Yeah, the main reason is because we go through our lives and there's always a desire for significance. You know, there's always something on the inside of everybody that thinks I was made for more. And yet at the end of our fingertips is this fingerprint that's so unique that nobody in history has ever had it. Nobody in the future ever will. Sheila is an identical twin. That means one gene split. I mean, if she walked off the set and her sister came back on, even today, you would think, oh, they just changed clothes. But even identical twins from one gene have individual fingerprints. And there's a reason for this. You know, forensic science hasn't known what to do with it for the last 100 years, but to identify somebody at the scene of a crime. And I can just remember a conversation that I had with my father about that. I said, have we really been given a fingerprint so we can be identified for something wrong? The truth is, God gave you your fingerprint, not so you could be identified for something wrong that you've done, but the Bible says that we were created for good works. And if we're created for good works and we're sons and daughters of God, and we are, and if it's true that we're fearfully and wonderfully made, God just may have an imprint that he wants each one of us to leave in the world that only we can leave. And I just believe that. I believe that for every individual. And you're not, you know, you may think like, man, I'm like everybody else and there's nothing distinctive about me. All you have to do is look at the end of your fingertip and there's that fingerprint to remind you that God gave you that fingerprint that nobody else has, so you can leave an imprint that nobody else can. And really, that was our story, James and Betty, is that we met when we were early. We met when we were 15, early in life. And, you know, when we began to talk about being together, I actually drew a triangle and I said, you know, you be your best for God, I'll be my best for God, we'll meet at the top. I didn't know that I was exercising my fingerprint early in our relationship, but that's what I was doing. I was saying, here's what's important to me. God's important to me. And before we can be together, I've got to know what's important to you. And that's part of what the book is about how to discover really the most important things or thing in life so that you can live a life that most matters. So many people go through life and they spend their time on things that don't matter most. And that's because they don't know how much they matter. They don't know how much their fingerprint matters. And in our relationship, one of the things that we established, I told her, it was on January 20th, 1976. And I said, if you'll be my girlfriend, I said, on this day, every month, I'm going to celebrate you for as long as we're together.
Now, you said that. He said that to me. And so I thought that was great. But then when a month later, and he gives me a card.
On the 20th,
I said, what is this? And he said, well, it's our 1 month anniversary. Well, I just felt terrible because I didn't have a card for him. And I thought, the girl is the one that keeps track of all of this on the calendar. But you know what I loved is that he realized his unique fingerprint that he brought to the relationship, and he never got mad at me when I didn't give him a card or when I didn't celebrate him, because he knew what he brought to our relationship, and he didn't have the expectation that I was to bring the same thing, because I have a unique fingerprint, and it may not look the same.
Exactly.
So what I give to the relationship is totally different than what he gives. Not that I can't give cards, but I'm not the best, James and Betty, at remembering the 20th. I can remember the years. I'm good at the years. I help him with the years, and he does the months.
But that's part of, again, the emphasis here is that that we bring out in the book, is that's part of my unique fingerprint. And that really speaks of honor, that I want her to feel honored. And so for the last 458 months, on the 20th every month, I've celebrated her. So when the 20th comes up, we're having an anniversary, whether she remembers it or not. And you see, I think that's a lot of times where the rub is in a marriage, mm-hmm. and in relationships, is you start expecting people to do what you're aware of. Let me say it a different way. You start expecting people to do to you what you've been put on the earth to do. Mm-hmm. In other words, it's your fingerprint that leaves the imprint. And when we get our focus off on what somebody's not doing and realize, hey, this is what I bring to the relationship, then it adds value to that person's life and therefore adds value to your life.
You have to learn to appreciate each one's differences.
Absolutely. Right.
You know, a lot of times the mistakes that's made in marriage is when you get married, of course, you're all excited about this new relationship,
right.
and everything. But then a lot of times, and especially I think it happens with women, you think, I'm going to make my husband just like I picture he should be, or like
right.
and like to do the same way I do it, you know, and everything.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't happen, they get real disappointed.
Right. Well, and in the book, that's one of the things I talk about, is just trying to help people understand. Each chapter starts with your. So it's your think, be, do, for instance, is one of the chapters. And we talk about how really everything starts at the level of our think. And how you think determines how you'll be. How you be, if I can say it like that, determines what you'll do in life. And if you can look at it as a math equation, it's think plus be plus do equals have. So whatever I have in life, in my relationships, whatever I have in life in terms of if I look and say I like this or don't like this, if I can go back to my think, I can change anything that I do have, because everything that I have starts from the inside. It starts with who I am. So we talk about that, how to develop your think, be, and do, how to shape that. And then core values, of course, we've talked about that, and that's what we're talking about here, that, hey, this is what matters most to me, and therefore, if something matters most to you, It doesn't have to matter as much to somebody else, but if you're going to have a great relationship, you have to both agree that that does matter. Yeah. And again, that's where, you know, the myth in marriage is that people think, oh, you fall in love and you fall out of love. No, no, that's really not the case. You didn't fall into it and you can't fall out of it. The truth is that great lovers begin to love people the way they need to be loved, not just the way they normally love. So if I'm going to love her, then I'm going to have to focus on what she needs, and then I love her that way rather than just loving her my natural way. Does that make sense?
Sure.
You see, how you think is very unique to you. Like if I were to ask you, where'd you learn to think? What is it that shapes our thinking? Here's what God said. Isaiah 55, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. And as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts and my ways higher than yours. Well, it's not God bragging on himself saying, hey, I think better than you. It's actually an invitation to think like God, to be like God, to do like God, and then you'll have not only what God says you can have, but you'll have what God put you on the earth to have so that you can produce.
And never think for 1 minute you are God.
Exactly.
Because if you really know him, no matter how much he imparts to you, you ain't never going to be him.
Yeah, yeah.
And don't ever think you are.
Yeah.
And you don't lord over people. That's why I said if you want to know who is greatest in the kingdom, as I understand, kingdom, because I created kingdoms.
Yes.
And dominions.
Right.
He said if you really want to be great, be servant of all.
Right.
Yes.
And Jesus said, I who am greatest, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. Yeah. We give to bless.
Right.
We give to help others. Yes. Our audience understands that.
Yeah.
And you know what? They're blessed.
Yes.
Because when you bless somebody else,
right,
you are blessed beyond measure.
Yes.
I don't even have to have a thank you. Although, isn't it nice when somebody says,
yes,
that meant something to
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
Boy, you talk about a blessing yeah. to know. You mean my fingerprint helped you.
Yeah.
Don't you love that yeah. when you hear it?
Mm-hmm.
When you see it and when you talk to women who say, he helped my husband.
Absolutely.
And I've got a new man.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Isn't that why Keith wrote
yeah.
this book?
Yeah. Yes.
You watch it, don't you, Sheila?
Yes, absolutely. He wants people to understand that they are unique and they are special. But you know what? He can't encourage people to think they're special or to be special if he doesn't feel that way about himself.
Exactly.
And that's what I think a lot in relationships is that in a husband and wife relationship or friendships, that if we don't feel special, if we're insecure and fearful, how can we make somebody else feel special?
Right.
So first I have to focus on myself and getting healthy myself and knowing who God says I am so that I can bring to this relationship what I need to bring and love him the way that he needs to be loved. And it doesn't look the same. You know, like we said, you know, the way that I love him is totally different than the way that he loves me. And I celebrate that and he celebrates that. I mean, I really do have a servant's heart and I'd love serving him and I wait on him and I take care of him. And he appreciates that, don't you?
I love when you brag on yourself like that. It's the truth.
Well, I want you to tell him that
I do. No, it's the truth. You know, there's a chapter, James, in my book. It's called Your Leadership. And here's why I wrote on this. The most difficult thing you'll ever do is the most important thing you'll ever do every day, and that's to lead yourself. And God's put that ability in you, and that's what has to happen in a relationship. You have to lead yourself to serve that person. You have to lead yourself to give when you don't feel like giving. You have to lead yourself to forgive. I believe that great lovers have to do two things really great. They have to be great apologizers, and they have to be great forgivers. You have to lead yourself to forgive. You have to lead yourself to apologize. God can't do that for you. And that's what's so important, is that everything starts with you leading yourself. And if you'll be led by the Spirit of God, He'll help you lead yourself in the areas that you need to lead yourself in. So what's made this work is I've become a pretty good apologizer, and she's become a great forgiver. And that's that I think is really the seed of great relationships. And it gives an incubator, if you will, where love can really grow and people don't hold on to bitterness, they don't hold on to anger, but they're quick to forgive.
And it goes back to the communication too.
Yes.
And in that communication, that doesn't mean that you're always the one doing the talking. You have
right.
to be good listeners too.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Part of communication is to listen to the heart, not I think so many times couples get so frustrated in their relationship with one another that they're not good listeners and they don't actually listen to what the partner's saying. They're waiting so they can have their turn to get their spill.
Right.
You know, they
right.
haven't really heard their heart.
Yeah.
And that was one thing that James and I have really been determined to do is to listen to each other's heart. Mm. Right. Because he could always outword me.
Yeah,
you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, she said, you've even learned how to apologize in
so
such a way as to make me feel like it's my fault. She said, you're just really good at it.
But he's taught me well. I'm handling myself now.
Yeah. Boy, does she ever. I'd love you to witness that.
That's wonderful.
You know, I just want so much for everybody to just know when she was saying about listening. You know, we taught on prayer some time back that prayer is a two-way street. You not only talk to God, but you got to learn to listen. And Keith and Sheila, I don't think most people understand that the greater part of praying should be listening. I mean, you think about it. When Jesus went up on the mountain to pray, and he did it all the time, he wasn't praying for power. All power in heaven and earth was in him. He went up because he loved the Father, and he went up to listen to his Father's heart.
Yeah.
We need to learn to meditate on the Word.
Yes.
And when you meditate on the Word, you will begin to hear his voice. By the way, you have to know the written Word to clearly recognize, identify, and discern a thought, a word communicated, even if you think it's audible, because the enemy will be the great imitator, like an angel of light, like a minister of righteousness. He can always counterfeit. But if you know the Word, you'll know the voice. And we need to know his Word, but meditate and listen. God will speak to you. Chances are, even as we go off the air, and I'm going to ask you to do something really important. You know how you get the river of life flowing? Jesus said, I sent the Holy Spirit to guide you to truth. And he said it basically in the same flow where he said, you shall know the truth shall make you free. And then he said, I'm going to leave and send the Spirit of truth to guide you to all truth. Because as you know truth and walk in truth, you can live as an overcomer more than a conqueror. You can live free. This is his desire for us. He wants us to have that relationship. So you meditate, you hear him, and you live by every word that is proceeding out of the mouth of God, not just written by the hand of God, but proceeding in fellowship. He wants this intimacy. And when we have it with him, Keith and Sheila, we have it so much more effectively ourselves.
Yes.
And we can teach others to have it. So please listen. When we close, and I'm going to ask you to do something that I say starts the river flowing. The way you get the river to flow freely, out of your innermost being, Jesus said, rivers of living water flow. Mm. The way you get the river flowing is to release it toward a dry and thirsty land, toward hungry hearts, toward a receptive place, toward a place of need, drought-stricken. You just release it. As you release it, to those much is given, much is expected, but to those who release it, he says it continues to flow so that you can touch needs with your love, your time, your resources. I want to show you right now, and boy, you're going to see this very clearly. You're going to see a place where you can begin today to release the river, and then you're going to meditate and say, God, talk to me. He'll be talking to you even as you watch and listen. And you're going to hear his voice and express his heart by actually extending his hands of love. You're about to do it. You're going to want to do it. Watch.
Captivity takes many forms. Not all prisoners look as you'd expect. But you are, without question, looking at the captive, the imprisoned. They are controlled, preyed upon, and abused in this ever-growing industry. In some areas, human trafficking is boldly pushing its way into the open. In other places, it's driving deeper underground. But at the center of each, are girls who are crying out, and we hear them.
I'm standing in front of a place where there was constant cruelty and abuse of young girls. And 10 girls who had been enslaved for several years, many of them underage, were rescued right here on the other side of this gate. They'd been in lockdown, where they never got to leave this place. But this team came in with a plan, and the men who had been holding those girls captive were caught, and those girls were set free. And then our team surrounded those girls, loved on them, helped them heal from the brokenness of being enslaved. God wants to do this again, and He wants to do it in many places. And there are many places that need our help. I believe we can do it. I believe we can do it together. And we can do what Jesus said together. Heal brokenhearted girls. Set captives free.
Boy, I get so moved when I look at that. It really, for many reasons, the woman making the appeal there, if you ever went to our citywide crusades, that Jeannie Rogers, I remember Adrian Rogers, I remember Jerry Falwell, said, that's the greatest singer on the planet, man or woman, Jeannie Rogers, standing there. She accepted Christ when she was a teenager where I was preaching in Oklahoma. Changed her life. And there she is over there, standing where those people, by the way, we can't show the faces of the ones we rescue after we rescue. Those are people with hidden cameras that are still captives. Many of them we're going to get out. And then we wouldn't be able to show you their faces when they get into safe haven. Not in Thailand anymore, because they'd kill them. It's very tense. You say, well, why do they keep doing that? Because the love of God is in them. And they'll say, we'll get them out. And we'll take care of them. And we built a beautiful home for the children. Betty, when they're singing there now, all these little children that we get when they get them as little ones, or we get them when they're trying to purchase them or promise their parent, we'll give them a job if you'll let us have your little girl, but you'll never get her back. See, they don't tell them that. They're going to be a sex slave. We're going to get them hooked on drugs if we can. We get them at that age, too, and we give them a home. But Betty, we can't show them except from the back now. We have to show the backs of their heads as they're growing and singing, praising God, because if they find them, they'll try to capture them. That's how wicked it is. But that's how powerful love is, Betty. Their lives are being changed. We reach them, we rescue them, and we restore them. That's the outreach that we're asking you to be involved in. Betty, $128 is what the mission workers tell us it takes to rescue one. And we've got friends. You remember how our viewers, we didn't know if our viewers would even want to see that without maybe getting angry with us. Our viewers said, whatever it takes, let us help them. We've got some friends that said, I'll match anything you give. If you'll give $128 to rescue one of those girls, we'll double it. You'll get two girls. If you can't afford that and give $64, we'll match it, and we've got another one, $128. We need to build a safe house in Cambodia right now. It's a tremendous need to reach so many, and it's going to cost about $350,000. I'm praying many of you would give $1,000. Help us build that safe house and reach out today and touch someone with love, please. If you'll dial that number, take your bank card and use it like a check. Just make the largest gift you can and know the grace and love of God doubled it. Instead of rescuing one, you got two. Would you please reach out and touch someone with love? I pray you're moving to the phone. You can go online, lifetoday.org, and then just say, I want to help. If you want to write a check, make it to Life, but call us and tell us what you're mailing in so we'll know. Those missionaries are so special. Yes, they risk their lives. Our team does. And I thank God for them. Father, I pray every person watching will move right now. Moved by your Spirit, will reach out and touch someone with your love. Set them free. See them rescued. Bind up their broken heart. Set those captives free. In Jesus' name. Would you make that call? Thank you so much for doing it. We have some beautiful gifts to bless you. And you'll love the glass sculpture. Radiates the light wherever you put it. The blessing. That's what you are. We're here to be a blessing. Thank you for being one.
Human trafficking. It's impossible to believe, but at this very moment, innocent children, many very young, are being sold and forced into sexual slavery and exploited in every way imaginable. And someone must save them. With your help today, we can reach, rescue, and restore their hope for a better future. And now, a miracle opportunity of a matching grant means your gift of $128 to help rescue a child will be matched to help rescue two children. Your $64 gift will be matched to help rescue one child from the horrors of human trafficking. This year, with your help, we also hope to build a safe house in Cambodia where young rescued girls can find safety, loving care, and direction for a new life. The cost of this safe house is $345,000. With your gift, please request My Daily Gift, a beautiful new devotional describing the great love of God who treasures you more than you can imagine. With your gift of $128, which today will help rescue two children, you'll receive the Side-by-Side Bible, which includes the easy-to-read New International Version and the Amplified Text with its additional words and insights. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 to help establish the safe house in Cambodia. And you may request our 2014 commemorative glass sculpture, The Blessing. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Behind me, you can see the beautiful mountains of Nepal, this beautiful lake, this amazing land here. But what you don't see is that little children are being lost, little girls are being tricked and trafficked, and all around us, all day long, we're losing our children from here. This isn't just happening here, this is happening all over the world every day. So please go to your phone or go online and prayerfully ask God what He would have you give to help us here to do our work, to help to rescue these children and save their lives.
Well, Betty and I, in behalf of those precious children, just say thank you, and in behalf of the missionaries, thank you. Would you say thanks to Keith and Sheila Kraft, Elevate Life Church in Frisco?
Thank you.
I told you the impact you made on our body and so many people, and I love your church. I hope I'll be able to come back out and share sometime. Visit them in Frisco. I had mentioned if you'd like to have this book, it is in the bookstores, or you can get it online. But if you help us touch those precious girls and those missionaries that need our support, and you'd like to have the book, Your Divine Fingerprint, we'll be glad to send it to you just to say thank you. Thank all of you for being here. I hope you enjoyed it. Tell your friends to watch Life Today. I think they'll be glad they did and glad you told them.
You could get off your record.
Beth Moore helps us understand those parts of our lives that just don't fit. Tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.